so much your presence that we've come together to worship God in spirit and truth. And we're thankful that you're here. If you're visiting and not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. We encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if you find truth to be taught, we pray that you'll make the proper application. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized into Christ to have your sins blotted out and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to turn with me to the 96th Psalm. I want to read verses 7 through 9 with you. Psalm 96, beginning at verse 7. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. When you read what the psalmist wrote at this particular time, one cannot but be moved by his words. And I'm fearful today that many people have two different views of God. They look at the God of the Old Testament as being hard and filled with wrath, and then they see God in the New Testament as loving and kind. But what we need to see is that God does not change, as the prophet Malachi has brought out. And we need to see that God of the Old is the same God today. Now, we recognize they worship differently as they were in a different dispensation. But a close look will show that God ultimately wanted the same thing from those in Old Testament days that He wants from us today. And that is the heart of man. If you look in the 96th Psalm, I would that you would look in verses 8 and 9 with me and notice who the one to be worshipped is. Notice that the Bible says, "Oh, worship the Lord." If you have your Bible, you might take note of that statement, "Worship the Lord." Notice the one to be worshipped is the Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And the psalmist is saying that He is the one who deserves glory to His name. He says, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due His name. At this time, the psalmist said that the God of heaven deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be honored. He deserves to be reverenced. He deserves to be praised. And so without any doubt and without any controversy, I can read in the Old Testament that the people of that day were to worship the Lord. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Exodus and the 20th chapter, you'll find in verse 3 that they were to have no other gods before Him. That they were not to place some idol or any possession above the God of heaven, or they would commit the sin of idolatry. That the God of heaven is the one to be worshipped. Then if you take your Bible, look in the 11th Psalm for just a moment, and we'll see exactly why He deserves worship. It says in verse 4, "The Lord is in His holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven, His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men." Notice where God is. God is in heaven. God is in His holy temple. God is placed upon His throne. And so this morning, there's one thing I need to recognize, and that is the one to be worshipped is God. The person to be worshipped is the God of heaven. But then if you go back to the 96th Psalm, notice with me something else. Notice that the psalmist brings to the mind where they were to worship. In verses 8, notice that the Bible says, "Come and bring an offering and come into His courts." Underscore courts. At that particular time in the Old Testament, they had a specified place to worship God. In the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, you remember they had the tabernacle. Look at the book of Exodus and the 25th chapter for just a moment. In Exodus chapter 25, in verse 8, notice that God is giving them an instruction. And God said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you." That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. Now, I want you to take note that they were to make the tabernacle according to the pattern. They could not just make the tabernacle any way they wanted. God gave specified instructions on how to make the tabernacle, and then God specified that was the place of worship. Then you'll find in the days of Solomon, the temple was built, and it was built in Jerusalem where God had directed. And you remember that in Jerusalem, they were to worship the God in temple. If you take your Bible, you'll find in the book of Acts and the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, before the New Testament had become in effect because of the teaching of the gospel, notice what is said in verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Now in Acts 2, you're going to have the first gospel sermon. Jesus had died. The testator is going to put forth a new covenant. But at this time, they're still worshiping under the old law because it says in verse 5, the Jews had come from every nation under heaven. They were devout Jews. And if you notice, my friend, they came to the place that God specified at that particular time. But notice, if you will, in the 96th Psalm, not only do we see that God is to be worshipped, and not only do we see where God is to be worshipped, notice that they were to worship His name. Look in verse 8. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. They were to worship the Jehovah God. And this also referenced His authority. They had to worship God as commanded. In the Old Testament days, if they wanted to please God, they had to worship according to the pattern that was given them. You know, they couldn't just go to any temple. They couldn't go down to Athens and say, well, this temple is just as good as the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, the business you'll find when the kingdom was divided and you had Rehoboam in Judah and Jeroboam in Israel, that Jeroboam was fearful that if the people went to Jerusalem, they would go back. And so he made altars in Dan and Bethel. And you'll remember that God did not approve of that. They sinned in that they did not go where God had specified. That one temple was where God had made specificity. And God said, you must go there to worship me. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else in verse 8. In verse 8, they were to bring an offering. They were to offer up burnt sacrifices. And if you remember from the days of Moses, you were to bring the best of your flock. You were not to bring the sick or the lame or the blind. You were to bring the best that you had to worship God. And you know, my friend, when they did not bring the best, they robbed God. That's exactly what the prophet Malachi said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? And he says, you've robbed me. And they said, how have we robbed you? And God says, by what you've brought to me. And I want you to think about in your Bible in Malachi chapter 1. Look at what is said in verses 7 and 8. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the temple of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Now notice he said, I tell you what, if you're going to offer me something that's sick, blind, or lame, he said, why don't you take it down to one of the civil authorities and see if they would accept it? If man would not accept it, how can the Almighty, true, and living God accept it? And I want you to think that God expected them to make a sacrifice, not just in killing the animal, but a sacrifice in that it cost them something. They were to give their best unto the living God. Now, I want to take that, and what I want us to do is take it from this side of the cross. One of the most outstanding passages in the Bible is Romans 15:4, where the Apostle Paul said, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning and admonition. What Paul is saying is the things that were written in the Old Testament are to give us some guidance in the New. So what do we think about when we think about worship today? Do you recognize this morning that the same God they worshiped in the Old Testament is the God that we're to worship? that God, the God of heaven, the Almighty God, is the one who deserves praise. Not man, not the church, but God. He's to be worshipped. And what a thought that the Almighty God hears me when I worship Him. I'll tell you, my beloved friend, if I could get into your heart and my heart, the fact that God is the one that we worship, and we could see His attributes and see His greatness, we would not ever want to not be here. We would want to be here to worship God. But secondly, where are we to worship? Now someone may say, well, preacher, are you saying we got to go to Jerusalem? Is there a location that is specified? Oh, no. But I'll tell you, my friend, where you have to be. You have to be a part of the family of God to worship. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, when the Apostle Paul was writing, notice what he says in verse 15. He says to young Timothy, if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Then if you take your Bible, I want you to examine with me that in the family of God, where we worship is the local church. When we come together as the people of God, we worship our Savior. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at what the Apostle Paul says in verse 23. In verse 23, he said, as the husband is the head of the wife, also Christ is head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Underscore body. I come together in the body to worship the Savior. Now, what's the body? Well, look in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The body is the local church. So I have to be a part of the family of God to worship God. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Notice where the glory to God is. In Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 21. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. So this morning I recognize this much. I recognize God is to be worshipped, and that I have to be a part of the family of God to worship Him. That I don't go to Jerusalem to worship Him, but I assemble with the saints of God to worship on the first day of the week. But I'll tell you the third thing. We worship by His authority. Just like in the days that the psalmist wrote, they worship by His name. His name means authority. In Matthew 18:20, it said, where two or three are gathered together in My name. What's that mean? By His authority. In Acts 2:38, when Peter was preaching, what did he tell them about being baptized? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? By His authority. And so in Matthew 28, when Jesus is speaking, He says in verse 18, all authority has been given to Me. We must worship God according to His authority. We do not have the authority to change what this book has said. We do not have the authority to make amends to it. We do not have authority to change one iota. We have to follow the book. But then I'll tell you something else. I think that we need to remember we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, we didn't bring an animal today to sacrifice. You know why? Because God sacrificed His Son for us. The perfect Lamb of God died upon the altar of the cross for our sins. But we still offer up sacrifice. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and notice what the Apostle Paul said in chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, notice, if you will, in verse 1, He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I like that statement, reasonable. God doesn't ask anything unreasonable of us. He said you're to present your life as a whole, as a living sacrifice. Your bodies as a living sacrifice. But then if you take your Bible, look in 1 Peter chapter 2. And notice what Peter said. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 5. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up," watch it, "spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, not by Abraham, not by Moses, but by Jesus Christ. What do? We offer up spiritual sacrifices. What is it God is looking at this morning? The heart of man. Where is your heart right now? Where was your heart when we partook of the Lord's Supper? Where was our heart when we sang praises unto God? Someone might say, "Well, preacher, I look and I notice you don't have instruments." Well, you know why? We don't have any New Testament authority for that. We have New Testament authority to sing, as the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3:16. But I want you to remember that that is offering up a spiritual sacrifice. We are following the pattern we have. And then we partook of the Lord's Supper. And we were to examine ourselves. And we were to think of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the fact that He's coming again. We follow the pattern given us. Then we gave of our means. And we tried to do so cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. And the question we have to ask is, do we rob God of His glory? When we don't give God our best, my friend, we rob God of His glory. Have you ever thought about what a blessing it is to have prayer? When Brother D led us in that prayer a moment ago, I thought about the things he said, and I appreciated everything, and I amended at the end. And to have individuals able to teach us and preach the Word of God. You know, I hope and pray that we don't have the attitude they had in Malachi 1:13 when it says, "Oh, what a weary it is," when they went to worship God. But look again and think about that we're to worship in the beauty of His holiness. You ever thought about His holiness? When I see His holiness, I see my sinfulness. Then I look and I see His mercy, His grace, His love, and I see that I'm to be holy so that I can be an acceptable sacrifice in my life and worship Him in the beauty of holiness, to give Him glory. Oh, worship the Lord. I love that statement. I'm fearful that in our day and time, we don't preach enough on worship. And I've made up my mind I'm going to preach more on worship, because I'll tell you something, my friend. When we come together to worship the Lord. We remember the goodness and severity of the Lord. We remember the blessings He's given us. And we worship because we love Him. Have you ever thought, my friend, God has told us how to worship. And He has all authority. So we worship the King, the Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I hope that our heart is right when we worship the Lord. If you're here this morning and you've never put on Christ in baptism, we want you to know that you need to be a part of the family of God so your worship can be acceptable to our King. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you